episode 19 of Amsterdam. I'm your host, Patrick, joined alongside Grant Ingle here. Grant, how you doing today?
I'm good, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just hanging in there. We had a great weekend for Beaver sports, especially for the men's soccer team, which we'll get into here in a little bit. Garrett, how are you doing?
Good. You know, soccer got its first win yesterday, so that's always nice. And then a couple more Beavers team followed that. And overall, not a bad weekend for the Beavers.
Yeah, it was a busy week for the Beavers. We're gonna have about 10 different things to talk about here today. We're gonna wrap up winter sports completely as the all HCHC teams were announced for both men's and women's basketball. Then we're gonna hop into women's soccer, softball. Then we're gonna go into baseball, men's soccer, and finish it up with men's football. But let's go ahead and start here with the all HCHC for the women's basketball team. Junior Brianna Gillig secured her third straight piece of all HCHC hardware on Friday, March 12th, when the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference handed out its 2020-2021 awards. Gillig notched first team all HCHC after second team honors in 2019-2020. She was on the HCHC all freshman team following her first season as a Beaver. Joining Gillig as Heartland Conference honorees were senior Nora Heminger and Maddie Fitzpatrick. Heminger was honorable mention and Fitzpatrick was named to the all-freshman team.
Taking home HCHC Coach of the Year honors for the second time in 6 years was head coach Chad Shuttler. Under his direction, the Beavers' 19 regular season games were tied for the second most played in Division III across the country, and COVID-19 kept much of the country from playing at all. But the Beavers hit the hardwood 20 times following strict testing protocols throughout this unique season. Shuttler cleared another milestone in 2020-21, winning a career game 200 while solidifying his place at the top of Beaver Bluffton's all-time victories list with 208 wins.
Pretty great honors, especially for Coach Shuttler and Junior Brianna Gillig. And we talked about it. We thought Gillig should have been Player of the Year. Unfortunately, Maddie Haberthy from Mount St. Joe, who had two very great games against the Beavers this season, ended up with that award. But amazing honors for Brianna Gillig. And I really like the fact that Heminger got honorable mention because we noticed such a difference in this Beavers team when she was not on the court. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about somebody that if you take them out of the lineup, it impacts the team as a whole, I would say Brianna Gillig could be Player of the Year, but I get why the MSJ guard won it, but they have another good guard next to her that can kind of replace her, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, Brianna Gillig will have another year to try to win that award, and, you know, she's just going to come back better and more developed as a player, and we wish her luck next season.
Yeah, definitely, and then we can talk about how important Nora Heminger and Maddie Fitzpatrick were to this team. When Nora Heminger was out with injury, we saw this Beaver team struggle, and then when she came back, she kind of gave some confidence back to the team, knowing that she can defend. So she'll be tough to replace next year, but excited in the future piece we have with Maddie Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick, I mean, we didn't really know what the depth was going to look like on this team, and Maddie Fitzpatrick kind of stepped in and took over the starting point guard role, which was unexpected, but played extremely well and was honored with a great award being named to the all freshman team. So I'm excited to see what this Bluffton Beavers team has in the future. Brianna Gillig is going to look to build off a fantastic year and hopefully have another great year for the Beavers next year, as well as Fitzpatrick building off her all-freshman team. Let's move over to men's basketball. As the All-Heartland Conference announced the All-HCHC selections on Thursday, March 11th, three Beavers were recognized for their outstanding work on the hardwood during a unique 2020-21 men's basketball season. Junior Jameel Cosby secured his first team honors, while Desmond Brown was named as second team All-HCHC. Fellow senior Aaron Rich picked up his first postseason All-HCHC award, collecting honorable mention acclaim. And we talked about these guys being the big three and all three guys being recognized within the conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about them before pretty much every game this year, how important they were to this this Beavers basketball team. And if they weren't going, then the team wouldn't go. And you know, these guys are going to be, you know, Jameel comes back next year. But Dez and Aaron are going to be very hard to replace in the coming year or two. But I'm sure, you know, Coach Neal will have the recruiting class and then the development behind them to do a good enough job to, you know, at least somewhat replace a guy like Dez and Aaron, who have been, you know, contributors for all 4 years they've been here.
Yeah, and that senior class, I mean, Desmond Brown was named All-HCAC Defensive Player of the Year his sophomore year, and it's kind of crazy to think that Aaron Rich got his first postseason All-HCAC award just this year, getting honorable mention, because he's been a starter all 4 years. But all three of those guys, in my opinion, deserve to be on one of the three teams, and I'm happy that they did. But Jameel Cosby is gonna, you know, be a big vocal point of this team next year, and we're gonna have a situation again like next year where with kind of what we had with the women, where we're like, where's the depth gonna come from? And I think that between the recruiting class, like you said, and some development, I think we'll be surprised, just because Guy Neal always finds a way to have great players and be competitive year in and year out.
Absolutely.
We're going to move over to women's soccer. The Bluffton University women's team pushed MSJ for 90 minutes, but the Lions took advantage of some bad bounces in a 3-0 victory over the home team on a windy Wednesday, March 10th. Bluffton slipped to 0-3 on the season and 0-2 in the Heartland Conference, while MSJ improved to 2-1 and 2-1 in the HCAC.
Jody Weimer found Lauren Haynes in minute 15 for a 1-0 Lion lead on Wednesday afternoon. The Beavers tightened up the screws for the next 58 minutes before a pair of MSJ tallies in a 2-minute span put the icing on the cake as Haynes netted her second score and Alex Hun sealed the 3-0 decision in minute 75.
Senior Jules Fraser picked up 5 saves between the pipe. Sophomore Taylor Dye finished with 2 shots for the Beavers. Both teams fired 5 shots in the opening stanza, but MSJ used an 8-2 spread in the second half to finish with a 13-7 advantage for the match. The Lions were whistled for 5 more fouls, but Bluffton forced 1 more corner kick. Bluffton showed a tenacity on Wednesday that was evident from the opening whistle, as the Beavers played with physicality that has not been seen yet.
Beavers were then back on the road at Anderson University on Saturday, and they lost a tough one, 1-0, despite the beautiful weather and a good fight for the Beavers. The home team fended them off for the 1-0 victory. Bluffton falls to 0-4 on the season and 0-3 in the HCAC, while Anderson evened up its season in the HCAC marks at 2-2.
At the 17:01 mark, the Ravens netted the only goal of the match. Taylor Baker did it all herself with no assist needed. The Beavers tried to fight back, but they were unable to find the back of the net.
Senior Maddie Huffman had a team-high 2 shots for the Beavers. Freshman Ashton Kernutty finished with 5 saves in a first collegiate start. Anderson fired 7 more shots than the Beavers for a 13-6 advantage. Bluffton had 5 saves compared to none for the Ravens. Corner kicks were close to even, with Anderson forcing 2 and 1 more for the visiting Beavers.
The Beavers will be back in action on Wednesday, March 17th, when they travel down to Richmond, Indiana for a 3:30 p.m. kickoff at Earlham College in search of their first HCHC win. So it's been a rough start to the season for this women's soccer team, and still searching for that win. But they've had a 3-0 loss to a very good MSJ team, and then a tough 1-0 loss yesterday at Anderson. And so I'm sure Coach Gregory is frustrated, as well as the girls, but they just have to try and gain some confidence and find a way to get a win.
Yeah, absolutely. They got they had a tough scheduling start with Rose being a really good team, and then MSJ being another top 3 team, and then Anderson, they felt like that was winnable, but I think Anderson's team this year is better than it has been. But then you look at Earlham Wednesday as a game that they beat them last year, and I think this Beavers team's better than what they were last year, so they're looking to get off the winless streak Wednesday, and hopefully they can.
And this is that Earlham team. The Beavers have been pretty successful against them in the past. Garrett, you've watched the games a little bit. What do you think the Beavers team are struggling with to maybe find a way to put a ball in the back of the net, that as they still have not scored yet this season?
Yeah, I mean, as Grant said, the women's team has played very tough opponents, and that's just going to come with the season, the growth, you know, not being able to be outside always and just getting the comfortability to put one in the back of the net. And I think if one goes in for the Beavers, then there will be a lot more coming.
When it rains, it pours, as we like to say. I think the men's team felt the same way when we were struggling to get our first goal. But let's move over to Sapa, who finally had opened their season on Saturday. They're ecstatic to be back on the field after having the 2020 season limited to 10 games due to COVID-19. And even a sweep at Franklin College could not dampen their spirits on a beautiful Saturday, March 13th. Bluffton opens its season 0-2 on the season, while the Grizzlies did improve to 5-3.
Bluffton trailed just 2-0 heading into the bottom of the fifth in Game 1 when the floodgates opened for Franklin. The Grizzlies passed a 7th spot on the scoreboard to take the opener 9-0 in Mercy Rule fashion.
Lily Tate smacked 2 of Bluffton's 4 hits, including a leadoff double to start the game. Grace Billinger worked 4 strong innings, allowing 2 runs on 4 hits with 2 walks and a strikeout.
Game 2 saw Bluffton up 1-0 when Taylor Shimp's bases-loaded walk pushed Marissa Avul across the plate. Unfortunately, the home team scored 3 runs in the bottom half and eventually pushed its spread to 8-1 after 6 innings.
Bluffton made a game of it in the 7th, plating 4 runs and highlighted by a 2-run Shimp base knock, but it was too little too late as Franklin capped off its sweep with an 8-5 victory.
Sydney Brown wrapped a team-best 3 hits while Shimp drove in 3 runs. Brianna Baker added a pair of safeties for the visitors. Senior Katie McCord went the distance, allowing 8 runs, 6 earns on 11 hits and 6 innings of work. She struck out 3 and walked 2.
The Beavers were back in action today on Sunday, March 14th, when they welcomed Albion College for the 2021 home opener. We do not have results from that game here today, but that was a doubleheader, so we will have that next week for you guys. We also have results here. We're going to move over to let's talk about softball first. Tough way for softball to have their first 2 games, but that was games number 7 and 8 for Franklin and just the first 2 games for the softball team. And they really haven't been outside too much. And after only playing 10 games last year, as frustrating as it is to get swept, they finally at least got back onto the diamond.
Yeah, I think they'll be happy for that more than anything, that they can just play again and they're able to see the field again. Obviously, tough way to start, but you know, gotta figure out your pitching rotation and then who's gonna step up and knock in on the offensive side. And it seems like they struggled, you know, the pitching struggled with them not really having a whole lot of depth, having to pitch a girl 7 innings, and giving up 8. So, you know, they'll figure it out. I mean, only first 2 games of the season, like you said, and they'll have it sorted, you know, by the end of it.
Yeah, and this team is very young. They have a lot of freshmen and sophomores on the team, and, I mean, really you could classify the sophomores as freshmen considering they really didn't play last year. And so Coach Des Moines has a lot of different options that she really has not seen yet this year, or at all. And so I think as the season goes on, you're going to see the softball team get better and better, just because it's been extremely long time since they've actually played it in a softball game or really had the opportunity to be outside too much. So we wish them luck, but we are going to move over to men's baseball as they played last Sunday. We did not have results, but now we do. So let's go ahead and start with that. And then they played again on Saturday. Bluff University baseball team dropped a doubleheader at Mount St. Joe on Sunday, March 7th. MSJ came through with a run in the 10th before rolling to a 12-1 victory in the nightcap that required just 6.5 innings. Bluffton falls to 0-3 and 0-3 in the HCAC on the season, while the Mount evened its mark at 2-2.
Bluffton took advantage of a leadoff error by the Lions in the top of the first when Garrett O'Reilly grounded into a fielder's choice that plated Reed Rule for a 1-0 lead. The Mount responded with 2 quick runs in the home half, and they led 3-1 when a hit batter and walk helped the Lions push across a tally in the third frame.
Freshman Kenny Schneider doubled home Kale Sherborne in the 8th, but MSJ answered with a run of its own in the bottom half for a 4-2 lead heading into the 9th inning. with runners on second and third on top of the ninth. Senior Lenny Winarski came through with a two-run single that nodded the score at 4-4. It was still tied at in the bottom of the 10th when MSJ used a walk, a hit batter, and an attempted sacrifice bunt to turn the single into loaded bases with no outs. Back-to-back force outs at the plate gave the Beavers hope, but a Lawson single to right ended with the MSJ claiming a 5-4 walk-off victory.
Rule and junior Jeff Strayer both finished with two hits in the opener, and Winiarski had two ninth-inning RBIs. Sophomore Jaden Jaquez earned the start and went three innings, giving up three runs on five hits with three strikeouts. Seth Altman worked five superb innings on relief, allowing just one unarmed run with three strikeouts. Seth Evans was saddled with the loss after giving up a run in the bottom of the 10th.
Estrella ground out to third, plated Winarski in the second inning of Game 2, but MSJ scored in each of its first five frames and routed to a mercy rule 12-1 victory in the nightcap. Bluffton managed just three hits as MSJ completed the sweep. Starter Eddie Budinski got through only two innings, giving up six runs on eight hits with two walks. Freshman Darius Bokey worked a scoreless sixth for the Beavers.
The Beavers head to Richmond, Indiana on Saturday, March 13th to take on Earlham College Quakers in a doubleheader. But Earlham took Game 1 by an 8-1 count before Bluffton secured a split with a 5-2 win in Game 2. Bluffton moved to 1-4 on the season and in the conference, while Earlham stands 5-1 following its first loss of 2021. In Game 1, senior Garrett O'Reilly was on the hill for the Beavers while Joey Gerbus towed the rubber for the Quakers.
The Beavers threatened early in the first as senior Jacob Lotarski roped a double into the gap in left center, but the Beavers' bats were unable to bring him home.
Earlham opened up scoring in the third when Embry doubled and Lankanese singled. Embry then scored on a sacrifice fly by Isaiah Shake. In the bottom of the fourth, Brian Picura tripled down the right field line, scoring Austin Hatfield and Danny Dopp. Shake picked up Nathan Lankanese with a sacrifice fly in a later inning to make 4-0 Quakers. Robbie Schindel singled home Brian Picura in the bottom of the sixth before Nathan Lankanese smashed a triple in left gap, scoring Embry and Schindel. After six innings, the Quakers were held to a commanding 7-0 lead over the Beavers.
The Beaver lineup hit the ball well all day, putting runners in scoring position, but couldn't deliver a significant blow with runners on bases. That changed in the top of the eighth inning when senior Lenny Winiarski tripled and then scored on a wild pitch. Earlham responded in the bottom half thanks to a Nathan Lakanowski single, which picked up James Grace. O'Reilly was tagged with a loss for Bluffton. He worked five innings, giving up four earned runs on seven hits with two walks and six strikeouts.
Jaden Jaquez worked two innings, giving up three earned runs on four hits. Fellow sophomore Jacob Bulkins worked the top of the eighth, giving up one run, one hit with a walk, also struck out two Quakers. Joey Gerbus worked eight strong innings, giving up one run on seven hits with two walks. Gerbus also fanned eight Bluffton batters on his way to earning victory number three on the season. Winarski was 1-for-3 with a triple and a run scored, while Lentowski chipped in with a two-bagger. Bluffton bounced back quickly with four runs in the top of the first to start Game 2, and O'Reilly doubled down the left field line, plated Reed Rule, and Lentowski Jack Tao scored on a wild pitch, and O'Reilly crossed the dish on Kenny Schneider's ground ball.
Earlham tried to claw back with single tallies in third and fourth, but Tommy Seamer continued to deal, keeping the Quakers off the scoreboard for innings 5, 6, and 7. The visitors tacked on an insurance run in the ninth thanks to a walk by walk to Rogan, base hit by Rule, and a fielding error from the Quaker outfielder. Junior Jacob Dalton shut down Earlham in the eighth and ninth for his first career save. Seamer earned the victory, allowing just two runs on five hits and seven superb innings of work. He fanned seven and did not issue a free pass. Rule and O'Reilly paced Bluffton on the offense with three hits apiece. O'Reilly drove in two runs for the Beavers.
Bluffton will return to action when the Beavers welcome Rose Holman for finally the home opener on Saturday, March 20th. First game will start at 12 p.m. And so the Beavers finally get to see a win on the season. Unfortunately, now just sit 1-4 on the season with that game against Transy. That is in extra innings will be restarted when they play Transy later in the year. But for them, it has to feel good to finally get a win. And it was the last game, so hopefully that can give them confidence going in playing against Rose Holman next weekend.
Yeah, I know they were very frustrated with last weekend having to travel all that distance down to Transy and not get a win, and then go, you know, another long trip down to Cincinnati and get swept by the team that was preseason slated dead last in the conference, and then to come back this weekend and at least get one from Earlham, who was they were undefeated before this series. I think it should boost their confidence that they can, you know, see out a game late in the later stages of the game. And hopefully they can carry that to next weekend.
And they're in the same situation as softball. I mean, they just haven't played and haven't really been able to get outside. So for them, I mean, they're also very young, have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And so they're getting their first collegiate time here. And hopefully they're able to build off this win and get some confidence and hopefully get a sweep against Rose Holman on Saturday. But we are going to move over to men's soccer, who had a pretty good week in our books. The Bluffton University men's soccer team went at it with Mount St. Joe for 110 minutes, notching it the first tie during head coach Robert Richardson's tenure at the helm. Host MSJ and Bluffton finished 2-2 under the lights in Cincinnati. Bluffton stands at 0-2-1 overall and in the conference, while the Mount is now 1-1-1 in the Heartland Conference.
All the scoring took place in the opening period, with the two teams trading goals at a feverish pace. Sophomore Eli Greaser got the Beavers on the scoreboard with just 8 minutes in. Maximilian Pearson, Hunter Coffey assisted on Bluffton's first goal of the season. Junior Dalton Tanner broke the 1-1 tie on a feed from Grant Ingham in minute 24.
With the game again knotted at 2-2, sophomore keeper Tanner Newport came up huge and denied a Luis Martinez Valles penalty kick at the 48-11 mark. The Beavers continued to keep the pressure on the visitors as the visitors finished with 10 shots on goal, two more than the Lions. Playing with two experienced starters sidelined on Wednesday night, Bluffton forged its first tie since 2015.
Two Beavers earned their first collegiate start to MSJ with sophomores Evan Hill, who played the full 110 minutes, and Andrew Bowers both on the pitch for kickoff. Greaser and Tanner fired four shots each, with seven of those on frame, while Maxwell Kennedy and Justin Combs chipped in with three shots apiece. Newport worked the full 110 minutes in goal with six saves and the stuff on MSJ's penalty kick. Lions forced four more corner kicks, 11-7, and were whistled for nine more fouls, 20-11. And the Beavers then hit the road again on Saturday as they traveled to my hometown, Anderson, Indiana, as they found their rhythm on Saturday, March 13th, looking smooth and on the same page for the first goal until the clock hit zero. The men's team earned their first win of the year and their first win with head coach Robert Richardson at the helm. Beavers destroyed the Ravens with a 3-1 victory in a match that never felt close. It marked the first Bluffton victory over Anderson since 2011, snapping a string of eight straight setbacks at the hands of AU. The win at Anderson was Bluffton's first conference road victory since the 3-0 shutout of the Grizzlies at Franklin in 2017.
Dalton Tanner had himself a day with two goals. His first came in the opening period at 11:02 mark, giving the Beavers an early 1-0 lead. At the 31-minute mark, he had more of the same, striking again. Jacob Kiger had the nice assist on goal number two for Tanner.
Anderson answered back with their own tally right before the half, giving the Beavers a 2-1 lead after 45 minutes of action. Elijah Greaser got on the board thanks to assist from freshman Elijah Zimmerman. The Beaver defense did not rest as Bluffton nailed down a victory number one of the season, convincingly 3-1 at Anderson.
Sophomore Tanner Newport was smooth between the pipes, racking up five saves for the victors. Greaser and Zimmerman both fired three shots, while Tanner, Kiger, and Kennedy chipped in with two shots each. Freshman Andy Klepek earned his first stint on the collegiate pitch Saturday, while senior me, Patrick Spellman, was victorious in his homecoming at Anderson. The team shots were not close, with Bluffton having just 13 compared to 24 for the Ravens. The Beavers also came up short in corner kick battle, with Anderson forcing 10 compared to just 4 for the Beavers. The men's team will be back in action on Wednesday, March 17th, at home. Bluffton will welcome Earlham College for a 3:30 p.m. matchup on the Saltzman Stadium pitch. But it was a huge win, especially for me being back at Anderson. I was one of the two experienced starters that had to, that did not play against MSJ, and I made it about 14 minutes before re-injuring the hamstring again. But a tie against MSJ and finally getting the first win, and I think we're starting to play some of our best soccer of the season, and it's a big time as we have some important games coming up within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting a point at MSJ was something to build off of, but I don't think we were necessarily satisfied with that result. So coming going away from home and getting a win, a commanding win like that was something that we were really happy with, and hopefully we can build on that and go again Wednesday against Earlham at home.
Yeah, it was a huge game, and first time I beat Anderson in my career, so it felt good, especially being on their field as well. But let's move on to football, who has a fantastic season going so far, as the Bluffton University football team is back in action after an impressive 49-14 victory last Saturday as they hosted Anderson on March 13th in the spring home opener. After 60 minutes of play in a hard-fought battle, the Beavers prevailed 35-27 over the Ravens. Bluffton moved to 3-0 overall and 2-0 in the Heartland Conference, while Anderson fell to 0-2 on both accounts. It marks just the second time since 1999 that the Beavers have opened the season with a 3-0 mark, the other being in 2016 when Bluffton went 7-3 after the 3-0 start.
The Beavers came out firing on all cylinders as they marched down the field on their first possession. The drive was capped off by a one-yard score from senior Darian Greeley. On Anderson's ensuing offensive possession, freshman phenom Montez Archer Jr. picked off the Ravens for his first turnover of the game. After a Bluffton punt, sophomore Martez Neighbors made it two turnovers on two drives for the Ravens as his pickoff at the Bluffton 23-yard line.
Later in the quarter, junior quarterback Zachary Nobis connected with former signal caller Ryan Markoff for an 11-yard touchdown and a 14-0 advantage heading into the second quarter. Midway through period number two, Nobis threw a deep ball to Sakari Reese for a 44-yard score. The Beaver defense stood tall in the next possession, and then Archer did the rest as he took Anderson's punt 70 yards to the house for a 28-7 Bluffton advantage. The last play of the half, after the clock appeared to strike all zeros, Anderson was able to punch it in for six as Ravens tightened up the gap 28-13 heading into the half.
Coming out of the intermission, Anderson would control the entire third quarter as they showed how they scored 48 points on Franklin a week ago. They connected on their two-point conversion following a 39-yard scoring strike from Tyson Harley to James Tucker, making the score 28-21. On the ensuing kickoff, they blasted the ball off Bluffton just past the line of scrimmage and recovered the fumble less than 3 minutes into the second half. Again, they would take the ball right down to the field and score. Quickly, the Beavers' lead was cut to just one as the extra point was blocked, keeping Anderson from knotting the game 28-27.
Anderson was knocking on the door early in the fourth when none other than Archer came up with a crucial interception on the 2-yard line. The Beavers moved the ball down the field and Greeley punched it in from 10 yards out. With the score 35-27, the Ravens had one last chance to tie it up. Anderson moved the chains three times and the Ravens were closing in on the end zone when Archer came up with a game-saving interception on a tip pass with just 1:38 to play. Bluffton put it in victory formation to run out the clock and stay undefeated as the scoreboard posted a 35-27 advantage for the home team.
Bluffton garnered 359 yards of total offense in just 50 plays. Beavers held Anderson to 440 yards, 260 fewer than the 700 they put up a week ago against Franklin. The home team ran for 223 yards compared to the Ravens' 136. Bluffton saw just six third downs for the game, converting on half of them, while AU was 14 of 25 on third down and 5 of 7 on fourth down attempts. Both teams converted three red zone opportunities.
Nobis went 12 of 19, passing for 126 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Greeley led the ground game with 171 yards rushing on 19 attempts and two touchdowns of his own.
Archer Jr. And Brady Haustein led the Beavers defense with 9 solo tackles apiece. Nick Perry was in on 13 total stops, and Nolan Childress added 12 tackles for the Beavers. For the second straight game, Archer Jr. equaled the school record with 3 interceptions. Last week, he took a fumble to the house, and he followed that up with a 70-yard punt return for a score against Anderson. His 6 pickoffs through 3 games are just 2 away from a school single-season record of 8 held by Paul Holsteller and Steve Risley.
Lufton will be back in action next Saturday, March 20th, when they travel to take on preseason favorites Hanover College while looking to stay unbeaten. Kickoff is slated for 1:30 p.m. But overall, fantastic start for this Beavers football team as they are now continue to be undefeated on the season and are playing some really great football with Montez Archer Jr. kind of leading the way.
Yeah, that's incredibly impressive from him, and then the rest of the defense forcing 12 turnovers in the first, 2 games of this conference season, and that's where they hang their hat, and they're just following that up, and proving why it is the backbone of this team. And then Zach Nobis has been good, and just keeping it pretty simple and safe. And then we're always going to have the run game of Greeley behind Nobis, and this Beavers team's doing exactly they're playing they're making their game plan known, and they're following through on it and just winning football games right now. It's really impressive.
They're going to have a tough test ahead of them against preseason favorites Hanover College this upcoming weekend, but they continue to play the way that they're playing as well as just the confidence they're having. I'd like to think that they have a chance in that game. So I'm excited to see how that goes as they have a big game ahead of them on Saturday. But Grant, you got anything to wrap up as some Beaver teams had some pretty good weeks this week?
Yeah, it's just a lot of teams at a lot of different places. Football trying to stay hot, men's soccer trying to get in a little bit of a rhythm, women's soccer trying to get off the schneid, and then baseball and softball trying to find their way as well. And it's just it's good to see everybody back out there competing, but hopefully we can have a better week as a whole athletic department this week, and I wish everybody luck.
Yeah, and one key point I want to make, the cross-country team actually have their conference championships today. We do not have results from that, but we'll have that next week, and then we're getting ready to start outdoor track. So we're going to be adding another spring sport to the mix here, as the Beaver Dam will be a lot longer this spring as what it would normally would be. But I know we love talking sports, and we're happy that all these teams are being able to compete. That does wrap up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Sunday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Stone, joined alongside with Grant and Garrett Heitkamp, and we thank you for listening to 961, the WIT.